Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show, the hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. My name is Bonnie Kay, and I'd like to welcome all of you. And good evening, Misty. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Good evening, Bonnie. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm still in recovery from our weekend last weekend, our healing retreat. I think I'm still healing from that.
I'm trying to catch
up on my rest. But it was such a wonderful weekend and so empowering for the women who joined us. And, you know, it was just a wonderful meeting so many of these women who are just so strong in their own way, who are going through gay husband recovery and seeing the progress that they're making, even though people were at all different stages of their lives. They all have that inner strength to become successful at moving ahead. And, in fact, a little bit later on, we're going to be speaking to one of our support group members whose life has moved ahead in the last 2 years to see how she's doing. But to our women who came to Florida last week, it was just very powerful for me and Misty to be able to meet you and to be with you. Wouldn't you say so, Misty?
Absolutely. It's just so healing to come together as a group. When you set that intention of everyone wanting to move forward that comes to visit, it's very wonderful, it's powerful, it's amazing, and I truly believe that each of those women leave a different person when they get back on the plane or they drive home, however they got there, they're going home someone different, and I know they're given the more courage, they filled up their courage cup, as I call it, and going forward with their gay husband recovery.
Well, I think part of it is the fact that when you're going through this, you always feel so isolated and alone. And I know that we really work with a lot of women through our support chat where we are able to connect women together, and sometimes people can meet live, which is always very, you know, meaningful to them because you do feel so alone when you're going through this. So having a whole group of women all meeting together was really, you know, like I think overwhelming to everyone who was there. And even though we all came from different places and spaces in life, the most interesting thing that I always find is that no matter where you live, no matter where you come from, no matter how long you were married or how short you were married, you know, no matter what age you are, religion, nationality, race, it doesn't matter. You know, everything we feel is the same feelings. And, you know, just being able to meet others who can, you know, relate to that and understand that is what makes it so meaningful. So I think it was a great weekend, and we're getting ready for our next year already. We're planning. Next year we'll be having our get-together in Philadelphia and New York. And we've done that in the past several times, and it's been very successful. So if anybody's interested, you'll be reading about it in my upcoming newsletter. That should be out sometime tomorrow night. If you're not receiving my newsletters and you would like to be on my mailing list, please write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I will be very happy to add you to my monthly mailing list. And, Misty, one of the things that I'm going to mention in my mailing list tomorrow, because I really was so impressed by this, and, you know, I just wanted to read this to you for a moment. And I had a gentleman write to me this past week, and I never heard of him before and never knew who he was. And he sent me a note. Let me just see if I can find the note, because I think it's interesting what he said. Let me look real fast. He said he was interested in reading my chapter on bisexuality that, you know, I offer to anyone on my website who would like to read, you know, where I'm coming from with that issue. And it says, on my blog, Ask Gay Dr. Bill, and he gave me the blog spot, I've occasionally been accused of being politically incorrect on the subject, so I'm always interested in others' opinions. And he sends his best, Bill Scholl. So I just would like to read you what he wrote on his blog, because I was just really, you know, happy with this. And I think it's really important to note that sometimes when we have this common bond of gay husbands, a lot of times we feel very jaded about, you know, gay men and the gay community. Because, you know, this is something that has taken over our lives that we didn't want to have part of our marriages. And I would think that in almost every case, almost every woman I've ever met through the years, and that's tens of thousands, are women who have never been homophobic and, you know, have gay friends and who embrace gay people, but when it came to having gay in their marriage, it's a whole different story, so I like to always be real clear in differentiating between those two issues. But this is from a man who's a gay activist and has been one for many years, so let's see what he says. A letter came to him and it says, "Woman with a gay husband. Hi, I am a woman married to a man who identifies as gay. He was out and proud when we met 12 years ago and was confused to find himself very attracted to me when he is not normally attracted to women. He eventually pursued a sexual relationship with me, basically couldn't keep his hands off of me, even more than any straight guy I'd been with. After 3 years, we got married. So now we've been married 8.5 years, and things have been cooling off a little. I'm really not sure what to do. We love each other and want to stay together. I don't know if this is normal for a 12-year-old relationship or because he is gay. I asked him if he thought his being gay was causing a problem in our relationship, and he said, yeah, because you get upset if I check out guys in front of you. I explained that his being gay was not the problem. Obviously, men are going to look at people. I'd been upset that when he was openly disrespecting me and drooling over someone with his gay friends right in front of me. Any woman would be upset by that behavior, whether the guy is checking out men or women or whatever. I do not care at all if he's attracted to men as long as he's attracted to me, and as long as he is polite and public about it. Anyway, I've had lots of conflicting advice from different counselors about our situation. Some think he's just a normal guy, and if I treat him as I would treat any straight guy, things will improve. Some say that he is gay and will never be fulfilled by me. We think both these views are extremist and inappropriate for us. Any thoughts or advice? Thanks." So that was a letter, Misty. So far, what do you think the answer should be?
Well... You know, when you read that story, that took me back to the years when I was married to my now ex-gay husband. And I remember we would be in department stores or we would be other places, and he would always be looking at men. I never caught him checking out women, but he would always be looking at men. I could tell he would just do a complete turnaround. I don't think he realized how obvious it was. And just by hearing that and experiencing myself, you know, I'm sorry, but that's very hurtful. You know, if a man does that with a woman, it's very hurtful. I think it's very disrespectful. And I just, well, my history speaks for itself. I couldn't put up with that. I felt it was disrespecting me, not honoring me. And that was one of the things that led me to realize that my ex was and is gay. And I just had to end the marriage. I couldn't. For that, I can't compromise because I'm a one-woman, one-man type relationship person, and I just can't that's one of my things I can't compromise on in a relationship.
Right. I can't even compromise if it was cheating with a woman because my ego is too fragile to have somebody not, wanting me only.
Absolutely.
But that's me. But anyway, this was Bill's response. So this is coming once again from a gay man. So we may not agree with everything, but I think you'll agree with a lot of it. I do have some thoughts on this matter, but I don't know if it's what you want to hear. First, let me say, I'm sorry, I had to turn off my speaker, that if you have to understand, I'm a longtime gay activist whose message has always been that it's okay to be gay, and that the whole point of gay rights and an acceptance of homosexuality is that gay men should be with men, to be true to their natures, and lesbians should be with other women. Therefore, I've never been a proponent of mixed marriages between a gay man and a straight person or a member of the opposite sex, regardless of their sexual orientation. You might say, well, isn't gay rights about people being free to be with whomever they choose? No, for me it was about men being free to be with men and women with women. Mixed marriages generally come about due to the unhealthy needs of the two parties involved. The gay partner somehow needs to be seen as a straight by society at large, which is where the wife comes in, and the straight partner simply wants to ignore the realities of the situation, their partner's true sexual orientation, out of their own sometimes self-centered desires. It seems a little odd to me that you should say your husband is was an out and proud gay man at one point when many today would assume he was bisexual. This is not the case, and without getting into the fact that bisexuality can occur on occasion, be a completely false identification, political correctness be damned, then the relationship doesn't make much sense. Why on earth would you want a gay husband and then have to play policewoman when he's out in public? If he's gay, he's going to be attracted almost exclusively to guys. This is something he can't change. It seems you've set up a tremendous burden for yourself by marrying someone who plays for the other team. I have also questioned his motives. You say he was out and proud, but you may not fully understand what that means. There are sadly men who are openly gay but are still full of guilt and shame and for some reason desire a heterosexual relationship. Women who marry guys like this sometimes suffer from self-esteem issues. They feel they cannot do any better. So instead of being good friends to these guys and encouraging them to accept themselves, they marry them. I'm going to be very blunt now and wonder just which of you is paying for the bills. I don't like the way your husband tries to sort of sidestep the basic issue of his being gay by making it not about his sexual orientation, but about your objecting to his flirting with men in your presence. It's a bit dishonest of him. But I have to say your attitude of I don't care at all if he's attracted to men as long as he's attracted to me and as long as he's polite and public about it is completely unrealistic, even borderline homophobic. Why not just let this guy be gay and find a perfectly nice straight man? They do exist. I have to agree with those who say that a homosexual man cannot be completely fulfilled by a relationship with a woman. I've met and known many homosexual men with wives and sometimes families, and while these men may love their wives at best, as best friends and companions, they can feel no true romantic passion for them. They often fantasize about men when they are engaging in sex with their spouses. If this guy openly flirts with guys in front of you, you have to assume he's hooking up with them as well. One-night stands can lead to affairs, can lead to long-term relationships. I also have to say that I'm bothered by your use of the terms normal guy versus gay, as if I had said anything over the years that being gay is not abnormal. Women who somehow think they are saving their men from homosexuality are way off the beam. I've made it clear in other posts that I've always been sympathetic to women who inadvertently marry men who are homosexual. I have also maintained that women who marry gay guys, men they know are already attracted to men, in hopes that they'll change, stay on the straight and narrow, or somehow magically transform into heterosexuals are asking for what they get, which invariably is disappointment. My advice is to turn your husband into a friend and look for a genuinely heterosexual man to have a completely fulfilling relationship with. It's not the 12 years, it's that your husband is gay. So what's your thoughts on that, Misty?
Well, you know, I have to say I agree with this guy. I like how he pointed out different things. I like how he just really addressed the subject in a pretty much no-nonsense way. I like that because his answer spoke to me in my situation, you know, years back. And I think that answer is wonderful because it there's so much, people think there's so much gray area for a mixed-oriented marriage. And quite honestly, at one point in time, I thought, well, if my husband is gay, maybe we can do this. Maybe we can do this. But, you know, It failed miserably. It was all about him, and I was the one at home. I was the one wondering where he was. Of course, he wasn't telling me where he was, but, you know, it was just too much for me. It was too much. And I like how he really pointed out some different features that are very common in mixed-oriented marriages, and I think someone's always compromising in those situations. I don't think
woman always compromising because the man is a gay man. But I sent this article to a friend of mine, Steve, and if you're listening, Steve, Misty and I say hi because Steve always says to say hi to you, Misty.
Okay.
And, you know, Steve is really a very smart man, so I would like to get his opinion. And he wrote back from the article, he said, "Hi, Bonnie, I think you are probably one of the few people out there who has the experience to offer an opinion on whether bisexuality exists or is just a transitory label people use. You've counseled thousands of people over several decades in which the subject has been an issue. Most people out there will just sit back and theorize about it, reasoning that, since we all know straight and gay exist, why not someplace also in the middle? But, of course, that doesn't answer the question. It always amazes me that some guys who are married to straight women will claim to be bisexual or bi-curious, but when you look at their lives, their actions belie that claim. They either have little or no sex with their wives, cheat on their wives exclusively with other men, and only have gay porn on their computer. What is bisexual about any of that? That is just a gay guy in denial. If bisexuality really existed, or if both of these men claiming to be bi, or if these men claiming to be bi were, what you would expect is that they would cheat on their wives with both men and women. They would have both straight and gay porn on the computer. They really would be evidence of duality of attraction to both sexes, but there almost never is. Anyway, I know I'm preaching to the choir, so I'll give it a rest. And hope you and Misty, you know, are on tonight listening. You know, I'll listen to your show. All the best, Steve. And, you know, what I love about Steve is that I think he's always on target. Of course, when he agrees with me, I think he's always on target, which is usually always.
Of course.
Because he's a man who's been through this. You know, he's also been married. He understands what it is to go through the suffering and the pain and, you know, being in denial of who you are. So it's not that, you know, he's just somebody looking from the outside. He's looking from the inside. And now, you know, that he's older and has gone through life, he really understands the situation. But I think a lot of it does come back to the whole situation of bisexuality. And if anybody has any opinions who would like to call in tonight, we're going to give you our call-in number. So please feel free to write it down. It's area code 646-716-4893, and I'll repeat that, area code 646-716-4893. So if you would like to have any kind of comments on the bisexuality issue or on the gay issue or any issue that concerns something that we're all involved with here, please feel free to call us and give us your comments. But getting back to this blog post by this gentleman, I'm just really amazed that, you know, here's somebody who's not from the straight gay world. He's from the gay world, as I call it. I call men who are authentically gay, the ones who haven't gone through the experience of having to be straight when they're really not. And so here was somebody who's, you know, really authentic, never had to live a life that wasn't his. And, you know, if he feels this way, I think it's really validating. And I think he did make some good points there that, you know, I have met women, you know, who have low self-esteem, who fall into these marriages knowing that the men are gay. And it is kind of sad. You know, I remember counseling a couple many years ago, and the girl was not particularly, you know, physically attractive or mentally bright. You know, she was, you know, kind of out there where, and she had a really adorable gay husband. And, you know, she said to me, she said, look, she said, I know he's gay, but, you know, look how cute he is and how nice he is to me. She said, you know, I've never met a man who's straight who could be that nice to me or who was, you know, fun to be with like he is. And, you know, she had no intentions of leaving that marriage. She really wanted to be in that marriage. And she said, you know, I'm nothing much that other men look at, but this guy sees me differently, so I have to be able to accept he's gay because at least he loves me. And when you think about that, it's really sad. I mean, you know, thinking that someone who loves you because he's gay is going to be, you know, that's a reason to be with him. But there are women who really feel that way. You know, they're willing to settle for less than what they deserve, thinking that they can live with this. And, you know, when you're in your 20s or even 30s, you can be sexually appealing to a man who's, you know, in his transition from bisexuality to homosexuality. But once he gets past that transition, it's almost impossible for him to be intimate with you. And so it's like living with a brother. As I tell our women, you know, if you want to live with a brother, then move in with your brother. You don't have to be married for that. But a lot of these women have false hopes, and they really believe that these marriages are going to work or that someone will love them enough and not be attracted enough to men to leave them. And in almost all cases, it never works, you know, for any length of time, and the woman's left devastated. So a lot of that, you know, is really important as far as building up who you are and feeling good about yourself. And when we're on that subject, Misty, one of the guests we're going to be having on our show in the next couple of weeks is a woman named Carmen Nina Pulido, and she's written a book called Women's Success Guide, Unlock the Key to Your Success. And I'm so impressed by, you know, everything that Carmen has written in this book. Carmen lives in California, but she's going to be in my part of town in Philadelphia for the next couple months. So I'm going to meet with her, and she had sent me a copy of her guidebook before. And you'll be really impressed with Carmen, because all the things that we talk about as far as how to build your life up after one of these marriages and all the keys that you need and how to love yourself. She has a chapter, for instance, on how to love yourself and others properly, you know, take responsibility for every aspect of your life. You know, goal setting, visualize and honestly articulate your wants and desires, you know, a lot of assertiveness training kinds of things, discipline and controlling yourself, the pitfalls of bad habits, how to take appreciation and give, you know, and gratitude. I mean, there's a lot of really good, you know, parts in here. But one of the things that I read in here, and I just wanted to share with, you know, our listeners and you, she has a little section here called parental influence. And you know how you and I are always talking about how children model themselves after their parents, Misty? You know, we've had a lot of shows on that.
Mm-hmm.
So she wrote here, another reason why it's hard to love properly is because we're not born with that ability. The ability to love others and ourselves properly is an art that's learned. It's not something that just comes naturally. Most parents naturally love their children, but don't necessarily know how to love themselves or their children properly. Parents are flawed human beings, just like everyone else, who have reproduced another human being. And human beings who reproduce other human beings don't automatically and mysteriously lose their faults and flaws and become terrific, mature, responsible parents who now know how to love themselves and others properly. Instead, what usually happens is that parents parent the way they were parented, whether they have good role models or not. Therefore, faulty ideas and behaviors get passed on from one generation to another. And children internalize bad, unloving stuff as normal or as what is expected, or worse yet, what they deserve. Then when these children become parents, unless they're enlightened, they repeat and pass on the same faulty thoughts and behaviors to their children, and the cycle grinds on. That's how we let these negative experiences we've had in our lives influence our ability to feel good about ourselves and others and inhibit our ability to make smart, self-affirming choices that result in successful, fulfilling lives. But it says negative parental role models and patterns are hard to overcome because it's difficult to admit negative things about your parents, and it's even more difficult to change negative patterns. But it can be done. First, you have to recognize the negative model or pattern. Then you have to consciously work on replacing the negative model or pattern with a positive model or pattern. Physical abandonment and emotional abuse by male significant others is the negative pattern that runs in my family. I've been trying to overcome this negative pattern for most of my life. Here's how the negativity functions in my family. My mom's dad physically abandons her in childhood, and she's raised by a stepdad who is emotionally abusive. Since my mom grew up not knowing what it looked or felt like to be loved and valued properly by her dad or stepdad, she repeats the pattern and marries a man, my father, who's incapable of being there for her or for me, and he abandons us via drugs and prison. Then my mom marries a steady Eddie, who is physically there but who is emotionally abuses both of us. Abandonment and emotional abuse is so damaging and hard to overcome because the message you get is you're not good enough to be loved or valued properly. And accepting the I'm not good enough message produces low self-esteem, people-pleasing tendencies, and love addiction. Simply put, love addiction is when you have an insatiable need to prove your worthiness by getting and keeping love by any means necessary. Been there, done that, lived to write this book, a novel, and a screenplay about love addiction, appropriately called Love Line. So I thought that those are some really good thoughts. What do you think, Misty?
Absolutely, and I think it's so important to point out and realize that even though as we become adults, we swear we're not going to be like this a parent was or be like that how a parent was. You know, we're going to be different. But as you and I both know, oftentimes those children that turn into adults, young adults, and then mature adults, they still repeat the patterns that their parents taught them about relationships, whether it's good or bad. It takes a lot of work to overcome that. One can overcome that, but it takes a lot of work. And I think it's so interesting how many and how often people repeat those patterns as an adult.
I think that's because they don't realize even that it is a pattern. And I think that's why how you and I both agree that when you're in a bad marriage and how it's going to affect your children, that children model themselves or role model themselves after their parents. And we see that happening all the time. And just like, you know, this book that Carmen wrote really confirms that, you know, that's the love that you grow up with. Mm-hmm. And you don't know that your parents, you know, you're not mature or astute enough to realize as you're growing up, well, my mother came from a bad family life or my father came from, you know, physically abusive life and this is why they're doing it to me. You know, children can't rationalize that. So it's the learned behavior that they're learning and the role modeling. And we often say that when it comes to a straight gay marriage and a child sees a marriage where there's no affection, where there's, you know, constant bickering and the husband putting down the wife because he's unhappy in his marriage, that, you know, you don't see the positive kinds of role modeling that you need to see growing up so that you can have that same kind of positive, you know, relationship when you get older.
Absolutely.
And I think what she said is very interesting where she says that, you know, about love addiction and how that when you're growing up, that it says abandonment and emotional abuse is so damaging and hard to overcome because the message you get is you're not good enough to be loved or valued properly, and accepting the I'm not good enough message produces low self-esteem, people-pleasing tendencies, and love addiction. I think that she wrote that so beautifully, and it's so true.
Absolutely. I know we've seen that happen a lot among the women we work with, and it's, yeah, I'd like to have a copy of that book. It sounds like a really good book.
Well, you're going to have to buy one, Misty.
I will.
Unless I have to give you mine. But no, what I love about this book, and that's why I want to get Carmen on our show, and I know she'll give you a book, but is that she has all kinds of really good exercises in this book on how to do goal setting, where do you want to be, list things you would need to do to, you know, list things for your future, close your eyes and visualize your dream lifestyle. Different things, different lists that you can make, because I think that you do a lot of the same kinds of therapy of visualization.
Yeah.
You know, where you're
a lot of that.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Visualization, I think, is one of the best tools to ever use when you're working with someone that's in a situation that they really want to change and that they want movement. And meaning movement, sometimes we get stuck when a situation is so bad. We get stuck. We get a little bit lost. And I know I certainly did when I was married to my gay ex-husband. I was so lost and didn't have any movement. So what visualization does, it isn't magic, but it's pretty darn close when you can relax. What it does when you have a good facilitator, they will lead you through a set and a series of relaxation talks, or this is how I do mine. You know, just lead that person to get them very relaxed. And when you do, you can tap into that inner source, that inner being. And it not only brings clarity, it brings strength, it brings courage, and it brings, most importantly, some certainty to it. And when you tap into this using different, you know, visualization techniques, you really can find and see, and when I mean see this through your mind, different situations. Because usually it's in a story form. You know, you have someone go into this place that they know that they're safe. It can be real or imaginary. And when you're in that place, either a great friend, someone past or present, someone that you know that is out to protect you. Some people that are spiritual like to use angels or spirit guides, things like that, that would be there to greet them in that place when they're walking through the visualization. And that person or that place or that thing could help them. They can give them answers. And basically what you're doing, you're tapping into your own inner strength. Because I operate under the belief that we all know what's best for us. Sometimes we have to uncover the layers to get to that. And it doesn't mean we can always easily find what's best for us. But during visualization, you know, it may take more than one try. You know, one try doesn't always work. But it leads you. It takes you down that road of what you know you have to do. And what happens is once you come back to the present tense, back to the present moment, you either talk about, draw about, write down, journal, whatever you saw, the information you gathered, and you write that down and then you process it with someone. And when you process it with someone, it usually becomes even more enlightening. You usually get even more answers. And what that does, it takes you out of that place of feeling stuck. It takes you out of that place of thinking you have no options. When you feel like you have no options, you're in danger, you know, because then you're making decisions out of fear. We know when we make decisions out of fear, it's usually not good because you're in survival mode, and that's not healthy for us. So the visualization, it's just, it's relaxation. It can help give you strength and courage to make those decisions that you know that are right deep down in, and that, you know, sometimes, and when I say that you know that they're right, it doesn't mean you can always excavate these answers by yourself. Sometimes you really need to get a professional to help visualize you through this and just start in the motions. And starting in the motions, this visualization can really give you little steps, little keys, little clues of what to do next, just those little baby steps. And it can really help you become unstuck. That's how I find visualization very helpful with the women I work with. Because oftentimes when I'm finished with a session, I'll ask the client, I'll say, now, were you surprised by the answers you got? 95% of the time, they're very shocked. And sometimes it's not an answer. Sometimes it's something that they see or hear or smell that relates to something that can help them move forward. So there's all, you know, there's all sorts of ways that visualization can be really helpful. And usually you will come, if you're really relaxed, when you're finished, you will come to an answer that really surprises you of what you saw in your mind when it, you know, during the visualization. And I found it very helpful for myself and with certain things and with the women I've worked with. I've done a lot of that over the phone with women. And in person, you know, we did a little visualization thing for the retreat. So I always find it very helpful. It just, it helps move forward, especially when you feel like you are stuck and you have no options, because there's always options. I do believe there's always options.
You know, it's interesting that listening to you about visualization and looking through Carmen's book, the Women's Success Guide, she has a few little exercises, you know, for people to do. This one, I mean, there's a lot of them actually throughout the book to help you rebuild your self-esteem and regain who you were or want to be. Shall I put it to you that way? Some people have never been who they want to be. But here, like parental patterns and influences, list five or more negative relationship patterns or beliefs you picked up from each parent. And, you know, she has from your mother, from your father. And then she says, list five or more positive relationship patterns or beliefs you picked up from each parent. Now, Misty, you and I come from two very different kinds of families. You know, you came from a really solid type of family, and I came from a really broken kind of family. And we've talked about this before. You know, my parents got divorced maybe 16 years into their marriage. And, you know, I was older. I was 16 by then. My sisters were little, but they grew up much more well-adjusted because they weren't in the middle of a battlefield like I was. But I know that from my parents, and, you know, I had a wonderful mother who matured later in life, but, you know, she got married at 18 years old, and she knew very little about life, and she married my father, who's, you know, for lack of a better word, really crazy and not mentally right. So, you know, it was never a good marriage, but the thing is that I could list lots of things I learned about relationships that were negative from their marriage, but you, on the other hand, came from a pretty stable family, and you have lots of positive things. But would you be able to say there was anything negative, you know, in the patterns or beliefs you picked up from each from your parents?
Oh, gosh, I'm sure there is. I mean, I think there always is. I think I have way more positive than I do negative. Wow, let me think. You know, this may sound like a cheesy answer, but I think one thing that hindered me in my relationship was, and this was something that was actually positive that I turned into a negative on myself. You know, my parents are still together today, and they were married very young. I think my mother was 17 and my dad was 19, so they were married very young, and they have stayed together. I mean, there have been some rough patches. I mean, nothing certainly like what we or the, you know, our straight wives club women have gone through. You know, always been some rough times here and there, health issues here and there, but they've always stayed together. So I took that and turned it into something negative, and I think that made me stay much longer than I should have ever stayed. So even though it was positive, I put that same on me that didn't hold true for my relationship. And that, you know, you stay
so you
with people no matter what you
influence?
Stay with. I'm sorry.
You think their good influence was a bad influence on you?
I think, yeah, I switched around because I saw them, you know, I saw them as staying together no matter what. So I put that on my situation where my ex-husband was gay, and it just couldn't work. And I tried to make it work, and it couldn't work. So I got that from them, even though it's positive, it wasn't in that relationship. And I was very young and naive about things, so I didn't realize that this just couldn't work until finally, you know, years later, and I said, okay, I'm done with this. I have to get a divorce. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that was a positive that turned negative.
But at least you've had from your parents, you know, some positive experience. I'm sure that every day hasn't been a holiday for them either, being married so young, and they probably had a lot of struggles along the way. Would you say so?
Well, my dad was, he worked so hard and so much, and my mom was always a stay-at-home mom, and yeah, I mean, I've seen them went through different, the most trying things they have gone through are actually health issues, different health issues with each other, and, you know, it really brings out the best in the other one, and it's so good to see that with someone, because I remember one night I was sick, I'd been food poisoned, and I had to wake my ex-husband, I was like, I think I have to go to the emergency room, I can't drive, and he wanted me to drive myself, and I was throwing my baby there. So, I mean, that is just so different than how my parents would react to something like that. And I always say, parents, they will fuss at each other over stuff. But if you're stupid enough to take one or the other side, the other one will turn on you like they have rabies and protect the spouse. So I always stay clear of their arguments because that's something, they protect each other, which I think that's so refreshing because I didn't get that. This is another good example. I took protection, my ex abusing me and not wanting me to do things. See, I turned something positive into something negative. He didn't protect me at all. Which is interesting. I don't know how I messed that up, but I was very guilty of messing that one up. But, yeah, I mean, it's good to see them, you know, rise to the occasion when something happens to the other one or the other one's not feeling well. Or they always, you know, they work together well, you know. It's really interesting. When one of them's having a rough time, the other one won't, and the other one will be stronger. And that's something I'm so glad I got to grow up in, even from Eastern Kentucky, which most people don't think this is common. Both of my parents are equal in the relationship. I cannot say that my dad's over my mom or my mom's over my dad. You know, most people think, well, it's all the men completely telling the women what to do, but that's certainly not the case in my family, which is really interesting. So they even taught me the power of equality that a woman has. And I still messed it up, you know, being married and taking so much crap for so long. So even though it's so positive, sometimes we mistakenly identify things as positive that are not. They can turn out to be dangerous in certain situations. And that was mommy.
How far into the marriage was it when you thought that your husband was gay?
Oh, my goodness, Bonnie. You know what? I'm going to back up and say the night we got married, I knew something wasn't right. I was so scared. But I didn't think he was gay. I just knew something wasn't right. Because he didn't want to have anything to do with me. We went to bed. But I went to bed in tears. And I thought, you know, we waited this long to be together. and he's going to bed. So I knew something was really wrong there. He just didn't have much interest in me. And I don't know how early on I thought he was gay, or I would have little inklings, just little drops in my mind that would think, is he gay? And then, of course, oh, well, gay men don't get married. He can't be gay. You know, I was
I'm having interference on your line.
Okay.
Can you try again? Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. You know, when I was married to him, it took me a while. I kept having these little inklings, these little thoughts, you know, drop throughout my memory right now, thinking, wow, you know, something's just not right. Could he be gay? And then I would reassure myself, no, he can't be gay. Why would he have married me? He can't be gay. So, I mean, I'm thinking I was probably seriously thinking that maybe 3 years into it. I was thinking it probably a lot, 3 to 4 years into the marriage. Like I said, the day I got married, I knew something wasn't right. I didn't know it was that. I just thought, wow, something, what's not right about this situation? My intuition was probably trying to scream at me, and I just didn't get it.
So at what point did you really kind of recognize it for real?
How many years
into it?
Gosh.
Halfway?
No. A lot of it's a blur, at least, yeah, that's very safe. It's very conservative to say 5 years into it because, you know, we'd gone to the point where we'd discussed having children, and I remember one point in time, I actually listened to him. He said, well, you need to go to a fertility doctor because you're not getting pregnant. And I thought, well, okay. Because, of course, I did everything he said because if I didn't, it was a huge fight.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time, My self-esteem was in the garbage by fifth year. I mean, I was a little robot just walking around, just doing everything I could to make this marriage work. So I said, okay, well, I'll make an appointment. And, of course, I went by myself. And I remember reading this article, sitting in the fertility doctor or the fertility specialist waiting area. And it said, like, it was this huge percentage number of couples that did not conceive naturally usually had something going on in the marriage that was emotional or there was some kind of trouble going on in the marriage. You talk about divine intervention. I think that was just divine that I sat there and read that article, and I thought that I could never push that article out of my head. And I came home. The doctor gave me some treatment options, and I really couldn't find much going on. He said, well, you know, it may take longer to get pregnant, but, you know, you're healthy, you're blah, blah, blah. And I came home, and I remember telling him, well, I think we probably need to have sex. That's probably what's going on, because I said the sperm and egg need to meet to get pregnant. And he was not very happy about that because we were not having sex. And by this time, it was normal for me not to have sex. And it was very hurtful when I would sit around with some of my girlfriends and they would be saying, oh, my gosh, my husband's driving me crazy. This is the third time this week. This is the second time this week. And I'm thinking, I've not had this two times this year. What's going on? You know, and it was, and then I started just putting those things together. And I thought, you know, something is really wrong here. Something's really wrong. And, well, what was going on? He was gay. The marriage was wrong. That's what was wrong. We should never been together. And
so, Misty, I hate to put you on the spot, but, you know, you and I are very honest with the people who listen to us because we always feel they can learn from us. So I'll put you on the spot. So let's say you knew halfway through the marriage your husband was gay. What did you think that if you stayed with him that maybe he could change? Or did you think maybe the word bisexual? Like, what were you thinking?
I was thinking possibly bisexual. I know that word was entering my mind because he was at this point in time, he was already telling me that it was very normal for, you know, women to be curious about women and men to be curious about men.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, none of my friends had really discussed that. My friends had only discussed being with men. They hadn't discussed being with women. So I thought, well, okay, is this really true? So, you know, of course, I was at the University of Kentucky at the time, which, believe it or not, is very liberal and things such as that. And some of the research I would find would say things like that. I thought, well, okay, maybe this is normal. And what really, but I was so miserable. Looking back now, oh, my goodness, I was so miserable. And I kept hoping that he would leave. I kept hoping that he would leave. I thought, well, if he would just, please, just, I can't tell you how many nights I went to sleep crying, dear God, please let him just divorce me and leave. Of course, that never happened. And I just stayed and stayed and stayed because, once again, by this time, I was dancing so hard inside that circle of crazy. I was believing that why we were not getting along was because of me. And, of course, it wasn't him. And he would want me sexually only if I had the house cleaner, only if I was nice when he came home, only if I had cooked dinner correctly, and only if I had to not, only if I didn't try to fight with him before he went to bed. So it was
so
all
like
he
used it as a reward system to train you, right?
Exactly. So I was dancing so hard inside that circle of crazy, I lost so much courage and so much of who I was in that first. Oh, goodness, within the first 3 years, excuse me, I'm sure my self-esteem was completely depleted within 3 years. So by the time 5 years, I'm really thinking, oh, my God, he's got to be gay. I had no strength, no energy, and I stayed. I thought, this is what married life is. So that was a huge mistake of me. And another thing, you know, I believe marriage being very sacred, you know, till death do you part. I just didn't know I was going to marry someone that had lied about who he was.
Well, I know that when I thought my husband was gay, which was about halfway through my short-term marriage with him, you know, maybe a couple years into it,
mm-hmm.
At that point, I really thought that if I could be a good enough wife to him, and once
mm-hmm.
again, I didn't think about the word gay. I thought about the word bisexual,
mm-hmm.
only because we were married. And, you know, it's true we weren't having, you know, the best of sex or the most of sex. But, you know, we were still having sex, even though it was, you know, pretty sporadic. And I thought, a gay man, I know gay men, and they can't perform sex.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is a bisexual man. And bisexual always gives that false illusion and that false hope, as, you know, Steve was saying in his letter to me, that, you know, it gives women false hope thinking that, you know, that there's going to be a choice and that if you just try hard enough or if you're a good enough wife, then maybe then your husband will now be attracted to you. And that's how I used to think. If I could be good enough to him
mm-hmm.
and show him all the love and kindness and, you know, really do good at, you know, cooking him meals and doing the shopping and, you know, being a real friend to him, then maybe those thoughts that he has will disappear from his mind. And that's what I really believed. That's how naive and stupid I was.
I believe along the same
line.
Yeah,
there was nobody out there to tell me anything differently. You know, this is the days before there were internet.
Exactly. You know, what was the go-to person to say, okay, is this the way it is? I mean, where was our manual to go find this out? There wasn't any.
Exactly. You know, I was kind of hanging out there on my own. And, you know, I didn't know from support groups or from this or from that. You know, it just wasn't heard of back then. So I really had no idea, but I just used my logic, and I said if you love someone enough and you treat them, you know, so good, they're going to have to love you more than they want, you know, anything else. You know, that's how naive I was. But I think a lot of women really believe that, even if they have an inkling, you know, that their husbands are gay, because I had an inkling mine could have been bisexual before I married him. Somebody accused him. And, of course, he denied it, and I was really happy, but I guess if I really would have, you know, been 100% sure, I would have, you know, I probably wasn't. But I also felt that maybe he tried it and he didn't like it. And back in those days, the sexual revolution, people were trying all kinds of things, and that's what they were telling us, like you thought, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, you know, I thought if he tried it and he didn't like it, then, you know, if I'm just good enough to him, everything will work out well. But, of course, that's not the way the homosexuality works.
No.
And that's why I think so many women are really blindsided by it, because they don't understand the whole concept.
Mm-mm. No.
What are your thoughts on that?
Looking back now, you know, I know how foolish I was, and looking back now, you know, I tell women this, you know, when you're living in this type of situation, I think the marriage itself can be very abusive just because, you know, you're denying, because they're denying who they are, you're being denied who you are as a woman as a result. And it's just very hard on anyone's person, I mean, on anyone's self-esteem. And looking back, the longer I stayed, the more damaged I became. And I had to work through more by staying longer, because I was married for about 10 years in a relationship altogether, about 12. So, you know, that's, you know, a long time. And it was 12 years too long, is the way I look at it. And there was just a lot to work through as a result of me making the decision, oh, I'm going to make this work, because it's, you know, what if he's not gay? What if I'm falsely accusing him and I'm ruining this marriage? Well, I wasn't ruining
anything.
It was already ruined.
I think that's one of the biggest issues that comes up. And, you know, I get this more and more from women. What if I'm wrong? What if I'm thinking he's gay and he's not? You know, how can I accuse him of such a thing when I don't have the proof? And as I keep telling these women, put yourself in this position. You know, over 50% of women get divorced who are married to straight men. They don't have any hesitation. If the marriage isn't working out, they know where to cut their losses. They don't sit and bemoan the fact, well, maybe it's not this, maybe he's not that. They just know they're not happy and they get out of the marriages. So why is it when, you know, you're married to a man who's gay and you don't have absolute proof, you have to sit and think to yourself, well, maybe I'm wrong. First of all, if you feel unloved in that marriage, or you feel that you're detached from that marriage, we're not getting what you need to out of the marriage, that should be enough proof for you that you don't need to be in that marriage. You need to move on from that marriage and find someone who can be a soulmate to you and give you what you need, both physically and emotionally. And when I say physically, you know, I don't want to hear that sex isn't that important. Sex is that important. You know, it's really important to women to feel desired, to feel wanted, and especially when you're 30 years old. It's like my ex-husband said to me the other day, well, some people, you know, they're fine with being companions. You know, everything's not about sex. So I said, well, you know, maybe to you it's not, but when you're with a guy and he's looking at other men and feeling, you know, sexually amorous towards other men, I said, how is that supposed to make a woman feel?
Exactly.
You know, and even if you're companions when you're older, I said, is that what marriage is really about, just being companions and using each other because you're that lonely or you need company? I said, that's not what marriage is built on. You know, those are not the things that women are looking for in a marriage. And especially when you're 30 or 35 or 40 years old, you know, you want it all. You want the passion. You want the love. You don't need a companion to go shopping with. You can go with your girlfriends for that.
Absolutely. But I went to the mall way too many times when I should have been having sex. So,
exactly.
Anyway.
I think that, you know, these gay men don't understand this. You know, the ones who are living a lie and who are living their life as a husband, you know, they have difficulty understanding the whole concept of what marriage is really about.
And my ex, you brought up something I think is very important for our listeners to hear. My ex always brought up the point. He would say, you know, sex is not that important. What is wrong with you? It's not what a relationship is all about. And he would always say, you know, well, what if something happened to me and I was disabled? You know, you're just going to leave me because I can't have sex with you all the time? I mean, he would say those things. And looking back, we were not having sex at all. And sex is important. And not just the sex, but, you know, people need to realize it's that lack of intimacy. Lack of even being touched, you know, that gentle touch, you know, to reach out, hold your hand, a kiss, whatever that is. It's all that lacked, and it does in most of the marriages, you know, the straight gay marriages of the women we work with. It's just, it's not there. And if it is, it's very robotic, it seems. And I always remember my ex, he would say, well, I do hold your hand in public. I would say, well, actually, you drag me in public, because he was very tall. And he would walk faster than me, so if he held my hand, he was dragging me. I mean, he wasn't walking with me. He was dragging me along. So, you know, the sex is important. And when, you know, he would say those things, course, that would just squash me down even more. Well, you know, that's all you think about is sex. That's all you want, and that's not what a relationship is about. So if I was disabled and I couldn't have sex with you, then you're not going to love me anymore, and you're not going to be with me. So all these things were going into my head. And then
I was thinking, oh my God, I am terrible.
And
the saddest thing that I need to tell women who have had gay husbands, if they haven't been in a relationship outside that gay husband, and many of our women haven't, you know, it was their first relationship.
I wasn't.
Right.
I didn't know what normal was, should have been, you know.
Right, but we have women who, you know, are still in their marriages or just getting out of them, and they don't understand what normal is. And then when you meet a straight man, you're going to see how different life can really be. And, you know, when you compare the two, you'll see what it, I mean, you won't even have to compare it because you're just going to know. That a straight man will want you, he'll want to touch you, he'll want to play with your hair, he'll want to hug you, he'll want to laugh with you, lay there with you. I mean, he's not going to be running away from you and looking for reasons to have a headache and a toothache. I mean, he's going to really want to be with you and be into you and want you to be into him. And that's what a straight man is like.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you say so?
Yes, it's very different. I mean, it's daylight to dark different. You know, and thinking of that, I have to realize being with a, you know, having a relationship with a straight man, it was just so different. So looking back, my ex having a relationship with me, I just can't imagine how different that was for him.
Exactly.
Very different. Yeah.
So, Misty, tonight we're going to be ending our show at 11 o'clock because our caller unfortunately couldn't join us. But we'll hope to have her in next week. So we're going to say goodnight to all of our listeners and thank you for joining us for this past hour. And if you would like to get in touch with Misty, and first of all, you can look at her website at mistyhall.com. Is that correct, Misty?
That is correct.
MISTIHALL.com. Also, on, you know, if you're interested in any of Misty's workshops that are coming up, what's coming up, Misty?
I have one of my favorites coming up. It's going to be a holiday workshop. You know, holidays are right around the corner, and or not right around the corner. I was out shopping today, and they're already playing holiday music, so the holidays are here. And when you're going through a divorce, contemplating the divorce, you know, going through this relationship with a gay husband, just trying to find your way out, or maybe you've already found your way out, holidays can be tough. You know, holidays are notoriously tough when you're going through a grief and loss issue. So I've designed a workshop that will take you through the holidays starting December the 13th, and it will take you all the way through January the 3rd. We'll meet 4 consecutive weeks on the telephone from the comforts of your home, and you can join women from around the world. And we'll join together. We will talk about tips to get through the holidays. I will help you make plans to get through the holidays and just offer a place for, you know, sharing and companionship through the holidays with these other women. And last year I did it, and I got so many wonderful reviews from the holiday workshop. So the title of it is Getting Through the Holidays, and that's what our intention will be, is to get you through the holidays, and not only get you through the holidays, but support you through the holidays. So, I anticipate this being just as good or better than the last one. If you took it last year, I've had some contacting me wanting to take it again this year. So regardless of where you are, I think there'll be a space for you in this workshop.
Mm-hmm.
So let me know if you're interested.
And people can write to you at mistylynnhall@aol.com. I'll spell that for you, MISTI. LYNNHALL, one word, mistylynnhall@aol.com. So, Misty, it's been a pleasure, as always,
yes,
reconnecting with you and talking to our readers about, our listeners, you know, to listen about some of the things that go on in their lives and some of the issues that affect them on a day-to-day basis, and hopefully Misty and I brought some clarity to you for that. So we will be back here next week, next Sunday at 10 p.m. We want to thank all of our listeners for listening to our show. And if you have any issues that you would like to address, please send them to me at bonk@aol.com. So, Misty, I'm going to say goodnight to you.
Good night.
And how do you always end our program, Misty?
Good night and love to all.
Throughout the world.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk to you next Sunday. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.